Hey, everybody. Today, Charlie Kirk Show. Amazing news out of Arizona. We talk about that with Citizen Kane, including some great news about the U.S. Senate. Really great and promising stuff. EJ Antoni talks about the reprehensible tax bill that Joe Biden is proposing. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com, America's most important organization, tpusa.com. Become a member today at members.charliekirk.com to listen to all of our episodes, advertiser free. That is members.charliekirk.com, members.charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Okay, joining us now is EJ Antoni, great guest, very smart guy. Dr. EJ Antoni, economist from the Heritage Foundation and fellow at the Committee to Unleash Prosperity. Dr. Antoni, welcome to the program. Tell us about how Joe Biden plans to raise taxes.
Well, Charlie, thank you so much for having me. You know, the biggest way that he plans on raising taxes is by simply allowing the Trump tax cuts to expire. And a lot of times these have gotten a bad rap in the mainstream media because people don't understand what the tax cuts actually did. They think they simply cut taxes for faceless corporations and high income earners. But the fact of the matter is more than half of the benefits of this tax cut actually went to those in the bottom half of the income distribution. It grew the middle class. The middle class paid less in taxes, both in absolute terms and as a share of total taxes paid. And it turns out that the wealthy actually ended up paying more. It was only a couple of years after this tax cut was passed that the highest income earners actually paid a record amount in taxes, and tax receipts overall hit record highs. But on top of that, not only does the Biden administration want to allow those tax cuts to expire, but they also want to institute new taxes as well. Some of these are very onerous wealth taxes, things like unrealized capital gains taxes. In other words, if you have stocks or bonds or any kind of investments in a retirement account, let's say, the Biden administration wants to begin taxing that, even if you haven't actually realized any of those gains. In other words, you haven't actually sold the investments, but they've gone up in value. So they want to treat things like retirement vehicles the same way we treat housing with local property taxes.
So EJ, help me understand though, his promise, Biden's promise was, I'm not going to raise taxes. I'm not going to raise tax. So how can he possibly reconcile this?
Well, that was the promise. Of course, it's very different from the reality. First and foremost, if you remember that inflation is a tax, it's a hidden tax, but it's still a tax. That right away broke Biden's promise because inflation falls most heavily on lower income families. And so those are the people who have paid most of Biden's inflation taxes. And that is an immediate breaking of that promise. But, you know, we also just have to, I think, remember that politicians always say one thing and do another, right, Charlie? So Biden can make all the promises he wants about not raising taxes on those earning less than $400,000 a year. But in reality, that is precisely the cohort that received most of the benefits from the Trump tax cut.
So David Sacks, who I really like, came on our show. So he said, so let's say you build a business from scratch and qualify for Biden's new 25% unrealized gains tax. I mean, this is insane, unrealized gains. So you have to sell 25% of your business to pay the tax, but now you have to pay 44.6% cap gains plus 13.3% California. So you actually have to sell 37% of your business. So is this an annualized unrealized gain tax? I mean, how is this even coming to play? So they're going to tax unrealized stock gains at 25% every year?
Right, exactly. And one of the really crazy things, Charlie, is when you start talking to some of the people involved here, like Elizabeth Warren, heaven help us, is that they want to not only tax you when the stock goes up, but you get no tax break when the stock goes down. So whereas today, if you,
you don't get a loss, you sell...
Correct. So let's say today you sell two stocks, one has gone up and the other has gone down. Well, if one has gone up by $100 and the other has gone down by $100, that's just a wash. You have no net increase in income. And so you pay no taxes on net, given those two stock transactions. Well, they want to effectively tax the stock that goes up and not give you any kind of write-off for the tax that goes down. I mean, this would be absolutely catastrophic. Well, can you imagine flood?
Yes,
the flood of investors who are all going to start to leave these new taxable stocks, and they're going to put their money somewhere else that would be tax exempt. I mean, this would be absolutely devastating for American financial markets.
What stocks will be taxed or tax exempt? What is the criteria?
Well, right now, the initial drafting and the ideas that are being bantered around, there are no stocks that would be tax exempt. And so people would have to shift into other kind of investment vehicles, probably things like bonds that are not going to, that are essentially not going to be subject to a tax here. The way bonds work is that you get what we call coupon payments, meaning you get a predictable amount of income every month, every quarter, every year, however it's structured. And so that is your return on investment, as opposed to a stock where, let's say you don't get a dividend, the return on investment is how much the stock appreciates in price. Well, if that's what you're going to be taxed on, then expect people to do less of it. And instead, people will use vehicles like bonds to try to get around these very onerous tax rates.
I mean, this would crash the market, is what it would do. I mean, why own stock if all of a sudden, if you're going to be up 10%, you have to pay capital? But the unrealized part is the most remarkable. There are everyday people that have appreciated their net worth significantly and not have to pay tax on it until they realize it. I mean, how would anybody ever get ahead? And how do you even track this?
It's a great question, Charlie. And one of the really scary proposals that's out there is to use an annualized price for the stock, because if let's say the price that you're going to be taxed on is just, let's say, December 31st, the last day of the year, well, then what will everyone do? Everyone will purposely sell their stock that day and crash the market, and then you won't owe any tax because there is no unrealized gains because the price will have dropped so much. So if you use an annualized price, you get around that. But here's the problem. Let's say a stock starts at a dollar on January 1st, runs all the way up to $50 or $60 in the middle of the year, and then drops back to $1 at the end of the year. In other words, you have no gain, realized or unrealized. But because you're using effectively an average of that stock price over the whole year, and you incorporate that portion in the middle of the year when the stock price was higher, you will now owe tax, even though there's been no increase in the actual value of what you owe.
So
there's just no way to square the circle here.
But you never actually got any value out of it. It was just a pop.
Right.
So if a stock pops under this and then it decreases, you have to pay the average even though you got nothing out of the pop.
Right, exactly. So every time, look, there is no good way to implement an unrealized gains tax. And so every time one of these proposals is put forth to try to deal with one of the problems, it's like playing political whack-a-mole. You now have another problem that you've created over here that you then have to try to squash, and it's going to create something else, and so on. This is how these ridiculous tax laws get to be so convoluted and complicated and inefficient. At the end of the day, this is essentially creating a problem when there was none to begin with.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. As you know, Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. After he invented the world's best pillow, he created the famous Giza Dream Sheets. They are the best sheets you'll ever sleep on. The best night's sleep just got even better. For a limited time, you'll get a queen-size set of $59.98, king-size for just $69.98, the lowest prices in history. Mike and the MyPillow employees continue to be canceled by big box stores and attacked by the media. They appreciate all of your great support during these times. I want to thank you by giving you the best specials on all their MyPillow products. To get the best specials ever, go to MyPillow.com or call 800-875-0425. Use promo code Kirk. You get the famous Giza Dream Sheets, queen size for just $59.98 and king size for just $69.98. You also get 60% off the original My Slippers. So call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. So, EJ, somebody told me recently that inflation is going down. What do the numbers tell us?
Well, that person would be wrong, whoever they are. You know, unfortunately, first, Charlie, right, we were told there is no inflation, then inflation was transitory, then inflation was trending towards 2%. None of those have been true. You know, inflation is not trending towards 2%. It's been trending to a rate over 3%. We've arrived there, and now there's no indication that we're going to get back to that 2% target, let alone zero, which is where we should be. And the reason for that is because there's no indication that government spending and borrowing is slowing down. Instead, we're just continuing right down this wrong road. So unfortunately, I wish I had better news for the American people that things are going to get better, but it just doesn't look that way going by the numbers.
And the major driver of this is government spending. Government spending. And we are adding $1 trillion to our debt every 100 days. Can you break that down for us?
Sure, Charlie. You know, essentially, what's happening is that as the government continues to just spend too much money that we don't have, and it doesn't matter whether you're spending that on domestic programs or you're throwing that overseas in the form of foreign aid, whatever the case may be, there's just simply too much money going out the door. It far exceeds tax revenue by trillions of dollars. And so we're running these massive deficits. And you're right. For a while there, we were basically adding $1 trillion to the debt every 100 days. Now, we just got a huge amount of tax revenue come in to the Treasury, which happens every April 15th. So that has leveled off for a bit. But once that tax revenue is eaten up by expenses in the next few weeks, we're going to be right back on track to borrowing at these excessive levels. And the more the Treasury borrows, the less that private individuals and businesses are able to borrow, because the Treasury is just sucking all the oxygen out of the room. That's why things like credit card interest rates, mortgage interest rates have all gone through the roof. There simply isn't enough money to go around for both the Treasury and, again, private individuals and businesses to all borrow.
That's exactly right. And the rate of borrowing is unsustainable, and the macro debt burden is breaking the purchasing power of the everyday American. The last thing I want to ask you here is that Joe Biden says, but the stock market is at record highs. How would you best respond to that, Dr. Antoni?
Well, the biggest thing is that these stocks are priced in nominal terms. In other words, it doesn't represent real value. If inflation causes prices everywhere for everything to double, you would expect the stock market to double as well. Why? It's not because these companies are worth twice as much. It's because the dollar, which is how they are priced, has lost half of its value. And so a huge portion of these stock gains are simply just the dollar losing value. That's not a sign of wealth. It's a sign of impoverishment. The other thing is that the market has become addicted to cheap credit and easy money from the Fed. And as hopes for a rate cut this year begin to evaporate, we're seeing stocks tumble. And unfortunately, that's something that's probably going to continue.
Dr. Antoni, thank you so much for your leadership. Excellent work. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, Charlie.
What does it say right here? Front page of the Wall Street Journal. Growth slows, inflation firms. Stock bonds fall as price pressures make it difficult for Fed to cut rates now. This is the buried lead. They were counting on a rate cut to bail out Joe Biden. And the Fed is saying, I don't even know if we're going to be able to do that. That is a big deal. The U.S. economy grew at a sharply slower pace in the first quarter, and inflation toppled Wall Street expectations, dimming investors' hopes for a quick Federal Reserve rate cut. You see, their plan, again, the Federal Reserve is supposed to be independent, but it's run by bankers, so therefore it is aligned with Joe Biden. They cannot even justify a rate cut at this point. U.S. economy grew at a sharply slower pace. Sharply, inflation reading sparked a sell-off in bonds. When bonds go upside down, it's bad news. Sending yields on the 10-year Treasury note to 4.76%, their highest level since November. Stocks fell, meanwhile, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average sliding 1% or 375 points. Investors are pricing in a 19% chance that the Fed will hold interest rates steady through the year-end, according to the CME Group. This is not good for Biden's reelection campaign. He was hoping for an artificial Federal Reserve rate cut bailout. A little bit of a cheap money, like give the kids some candy, even though you know that sugar high is going to end in 15 minutes. He wanted to try to have an influx of cheap money, quantitative easing, and have the kids eat Skittles and Twizzlers, and then the sugar high crashes. Turns out that might not happen. Herzog Foundation is amazing. You got to check it out right now. Stanley M. Herzog Foundation. For years, I've been talking about how our nation's public schools have been captured by progressive ideologues teaching things that directly contradict the values of millions of American families. For those of you worried about the best educational path for your kids and grandkids, I'm pleased to announce our new partnership with Turning Point Academy, the Herzog Foundation. From their online publication, The Lion, to the new podcast, Making the Leap, the Herzog Foundation offers a wide range of advice and information for Christian parents to make the best education decisions for your children. Go to HerzogFoundation.com. That is HerzogFoundation.com. Portions of the Charlie Kirk Show are brought to you in part by the Stanley M. Herzog Foundation. They are the trusted source on American K through 12 education. Go to HerzogFoundation.com. Joining us now is Mr. Kane from CitizenFreePress.com. He is a regular installment of the Charlie Kirk Show. Mr. Kane, welcome back to the program. How are we doing?
So, yes, things are good. I've been right, you know, the last 15 minutes before I came on the show, and I put two of the links up at the top of the stack. I've been going through the interactive polls page on Twitter, which is a really fantastic resource. And they've got a brand new one up. This is the 538 polling average, which sometimes I link to directly. But Trump, 5.9 in Georgia, 5.7 in Nevada, 5.2 in North Carolina, 4.3 in Arizona, 1.1 in Michigan, and actually leading by 0.8 in Pennsylvania. The only state where Biden leads is by 0.1% in Wisconsin. So, and I'm sure you've been talking about your news on Arizona. I've got two red headlines in the stack. Yeah, there's a story in Town Hall and data that you have provided in a tweet directly showing that, you know, they've been talking about Arizona, right? That Arizona is purple and it's turning blue because of California transplants. And they've been shoving this down our throats for 10 years. You live out there. I'm sure you're much more sick of it than I. But these numbers show the opposite, right? In the last 4 years, we've been gaining and we basically doubled. Republicans now have a double registration. They've doubled the registration advantage in the last 4 years over Democrats in Arizona while the media said it was turning blue. So those are both good news stories for a Friday.
I love it. So, Kane, I want to dive into this other one. The U.S. Senate polls that you have here on CitizenFreePress.com shows that the betting markets say that 71% chance that Republicans will assume control of the U.S. Senate. What I find interesting is they don't even have Maryland as a flip seat, which Larry Hogan, former governor of Maryland, is doing very well there. He's going to be a Mitt Romney type. It'll help us get a majority. Just want to give you guys a warning, but I'm cheering for him. We want political power. It doesn't factor in Nevada, which could be very big, and it doesn't factor in Arizona or even Ohio. We potentially could get to 53 or 54 Senate seats under the best case scenario, or maybe right around 52. Kane, this is huge news. The betting markets are showing Republicans almost a 3/4 chance of taking the U.S. Senate. I hope people, you know, just let the marinate in this a second, ruminate in this. Kane, walk us through it. Break it down.
Well, in this year's cycle, I think Democrats have to defend 22 seats. Andrew can check that number. Republicans have to defend 9. So it's trending in our direction from the get-go. And I 100% agree with you on Hogan, by the way. And Hogan, Hogan is loved in Maryland. And Maryland is a strongly blue state because of Baltimore mostly. But it's a strongly blue state. And if we can get Hogan in there, that's fantastic. You mentioned Nevada, right? The candidate, I think his name is Sam Brown. He was, you know, radically burned in I'm going to say Iraq. It might have been Afghanistan, but he's just a fantastic guy. And I saw him when he appeared on Laura Ingraham about a month ago, and I would not be surprised. First off, Charlie, I've always felt like names matter a lot in the ballot booth, and Sam Brown is a very good name for politics. And number two, he almost gave his life for this country. So I feel positive about Nevada, positive about Maryland. Arizona, we're going to see. You know, now that now that Sinema's out of the race, it's a one-on-one. It's going to be a turnout battle. That's all it's going to be, is a turnout battle. And your numbers that you showed on registration for Arizona, that's a positive sign. And then lastly, Ohio, Bernie Moreno. I put this in the stack 3 weeks ago. You don't bet against a guy named Bernie in Ohio. You know, yeah. Bernie Kosar, for the people who don't know what I'm talking about, Bernie Kosar, longtime quarterback of the Browns. I think he grew up in Pennsylvania, in the cradle of quarterbacks that everyone comes from in Pennsylvania. I could be totally wrong on that. But so I think, yeah, between Maryland, Nevada, Arizona, and Ohio, I say we win 3 out of 4.
And that it's remarkable. This is the buried lead, everybody. Look, it's easy to get kind of just overly negative and pessimistic. And some people say, oh, I don't even know if I'm going to vote. No, we need everyone to turn out. And Kane, these new Arizona numbers show turnout. We are outpacing the Democrats in voter registration by over 236,000 net increase in just Arizona. We have to tune out the noise, go to work, chase the ballots, register the voters. And Kane, the fundamentals are better than I thought we would be, considering our candidate is in a courtroom right now, Kane, considering that they have thrown everything they can at us. They just indicted Tyler Boyer. They're indicting the rank and file. And we need to have some faith. We have hundreds of bodies chasing about 10 votes a day that will be starting in the fall at Turning Point Action. And Kane, all things being equal, I'll take where we're at right now. I'll take being a slight underdog.
Absolutely. And yes, we'll need every vote. Here's the thing to keep in mind, Charlie, about all these polls. For example, poll came out last week when I was on your show. I think it was Bloomberg Swing State. It was Michigan, Trump leading by 3, right? What's interesting, though, in that exact same poll, Trump was trailing by 8 at this point in 2020, right? So this is actually a plus 11 flip. We need to remember, and you and I analyze, you know, where abortion is and all these state ballots and how that may end up affecting turnout. But we've been beating the numbers in turnout in the last two presidential elections. So the fact that, you know, in other words, Trump trailing by 8 in Michigan last time, he ended up losing, I think, by 1.5. So he came, you know, he did much better than expected. So you can take that as, you know, one positive sign in all these polls. And we now sort of, with the 538 numbers and the there was a Bloomberg poll that came out 2 days ago for the 7 swing states, Trump leading in 6. The only one that Biden was leading in was Wisconsin, and it was by less than a point. So it's going to be turnout. It's margin of error. We're going to need every boot on the ground. We need to chase every vote. I'm 100% behind, you know, voting early and all the efforts that we're making. Let's vote all month so we don't have a repeat of Maricopa County when 500,000 people turn out and suddenly the ballot printers don't work. So I like everything about the strategy. I like what you've now expanded to Michigan from just Wisconsin and Arizona for chase the vote. I like what Scott Pressler's doing. I like the new RNC. I'm feeling positive, but we need everyone to know it's still a margin of error election. Whichever side can get the extra 2 to 3% will win. And I'll let you add some thoughts.
No, that's exactly right, Kane. And on the stack, citizenfreepress.com, we see that the polling averages, the 538 polling averages for 7 swing states. The RFK thing is interesting, Kane. I've seen conflicting polling on this. Some people say it's hurting Trump. Some people say it's hurting Biden. But generally, in these swing state polls, it seems the only state where it hurts Trump, strangely, is Wisconsin. Otherwise, it seems that it's a net positive for Trump. Can you mention that?
Yeah, I'll talk about that. You know that I follow these as closely as you, and that's what I'm always looking at, is the effect of Kennedy and the effect of Jill Stein and Cornel West, and suddenly I've forgotten her name, but his He has a Muslim running mate for VP. So I think that they're all sort of within the margin of error. And what we're seeing is that it's maybe a net positive. The three extra candidates are a net positive of 2 to 3 points for President Trump. But what you really have to analyze about these five-person polls is, what will the numbers be when people get in the booth, right? And Kennedy has shown surprising strength. I think he's going to get 10% in most of these states. At this point, it's a wash. In Wisconsin, as you said, it was a slight negative. But look, either way, it's not clobbering Trump. Biden's team seems more worried about it than Trump's does. I know Trump's internal polling says that Kennedy helps him. You and I have talked about Cornell West and the and Michigan and Minnesota and sort of the protest vote, the Arab vote, the Muslim vote, which is strong in both those states. So I just, as an overall thing, I'm just as positive as I've been, but I go back to the mantra. If Democrats get an extra 3% in turnout, they can win these swing states and make it a very, very close race. So that's why chasing the vote is really what's most important.
It is the fundamentals of the fundamentals.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
It is Mr. Kane from the new Drudge Report. How's traffic, by the way, Mr. Kane?
It's flat. It's the same we did last 31 days are about 400 million page views. And Drudge in the same period did about 550 or so.
It is. I think you're going to have a big spike this summer. I really think so. All right. So, Kane, let me get your thoughts on these campus protests here. You've been covering it a lot on the Stack. What is your take on this? It's happening across the country and it seems to be dividing the Democrat coalition.
So 100% we've seen the shift with young voters, right? There was an NBC News poll. I think Trump had the lead over Biden, shockingly, after Biden, you know, destroyed Trump in 2020 with young voters. So there's no doubt that the trend is happening. And I want to add to this sort of young people trend. I want to throw four states at you, Charlie. I'm going to say Minnesota, Virginia, New Mexico, and New York. And what do those four states have in common? They are four of our hopeful, you know, we never talk about them as swing states. But Charlie, I've been checking the numbers. Minnesota is within 3 points. Virginia is within 4 points. New Mexico is within about six and a half points. And New York is a little, you know, the numbers for New York are about eight. But you had Trump. You saw what happened when Trump has sort of gone to the bodega and the construction site. So there's one positive thing. I feel like I've sort of been preparing myself. I think we may win one of those four states. Something else I wanted to say about your thing in Detroit. I've talked with both you and Andrew in the past. So here's the deal. You asked about my traffic. Most of your listeners have heard me talk about this before, but it's going to be 7 years on May 1st. So that's what, 4 days away. That'll be 7 years that every single day of my life has been Groundhog Day. And I've literally been in the same office here in my house in Bloomington, Indiana, reading through news stories, watching videos, and putting headlines up in the Stack for 16 hours a day, every day. So I've never left. I've not had a day off. I haven't been able to go on vacation. I've wanted to come to one of your conferences for a while. The problem is I do 130 to 150 stories a day. And so traveling, you know, airports, it just sort of can't happen. But I'll to sort of get myself to stick to this, I'm going to say it on the air. I'm making an extreme effort to make it to that the people's convention in Detroit.
That's a big deal.
So anyone in Michigan, so anybody in Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois, surrounding areas, this is going to be a great conference with Trump himself and all the big names. There's a poster up. It's got, you know, so I may be floating around there incognito for those 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, you won't know it's him. You might be, you know, getting nachos, and little do you know, it's Citizen Kane right next to you. It's just like, you know, the guy that runs one of the most powerful websites on the right. Yeah, the event's going to be amazing. It's tpaction.com/peoples. We have Steve Bannon, Christy Noem, Vivek Ramaswamy. We'll take good care of you, Kane. You got to come. You have to come to Detroit. It is going to be the center of the political universe in mid-June. Kane, closing thoughts here. Let's talk about how the map has been expanding. You mentioned Minnesota, you mentioned Virginia, you mentioned New York, you mentioned all these different states that very well might be in play. And Michigan, of course, is one of them as well. Let's talk about how the Arab Muslim protests have played into that. And in addition, the muscular class ascendant for Trump.
Yeah, well, the protest vote against Biden in Michigan was 10%. That same vote against Biden in Minnesota was 18 or 19%. Both states have huge Muslim populations. The Michigan voting Muslim population is over 200,000. I think I don't remember the numbers, but that would be enough certainly to give Trump the victory. So the gist of it is this. These people are going to see Cornel West and his running mate with a very Muslim name. That'll be on the ticket. Jill Stein will be on the ticket. Kennedy will be on the ticket. This is – Michigan is in trouble for Democrats. I know the numbers have been sort of back and forth, but Michigan is in trouble, and I think Minnesota is in trouble. So on this Friday, let's leave people with good news. I'll just sort of leave it at that. We're leading in 6 out of 7 swing states. We need to chase every vote, and I hope everyone in MAGA land has a great weekend.
Citizen Kane, you're the best. Thanks so much. And everyone, get your tickets to come see Citizen Kane in Detroit. That's the real reason. People's
That's right.
Convention. tpaction.com/peoples. Thanks so much, Kane. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.